Classic Oldies, WMTR Morristown, a Beasley Media Group station.
The following program was paid for by the Todd Leonard Foundation. This episode is property of the Todd Leonard Show and cannot be reproduced without the approval of Todd Leonard. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of WMTR. As always, it is advisable to consult a professional before making a major decision. It's time now for the Todd Leonard Show. Leave those negative stories behind as we focus on the positive and hear from those who give back and help others. Let's start your day with some inspirational stories. Now, here's your host, Todd Leonard.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for tuning in today. You know, on the journey of giving back, I have the great honor of really looking around and seeing who's making a difference, who's making the world better. You know, I really believe with my heart and soul we're in this together. And that's the mission of the show, is to bring on wonderful people. Don't forget to follow and subscribe on YouTube. Like us, obviously, on Instagram, Facebook, and all the streaming platforms. And today we're going to be having a really interesting show. I never met John Ellery before. John Ellery's an interesting guy from Middlesex, New Jersey. We're going to go on a journey with John about his life. He's a restaurateur, Ellery's Neighborhood Pub and Grill, and he's done really well in that business. We're going to talk about the business, you know, being involved in a bar and just, you know, running a restaurant and the challenges associated with that. And we're going to really brought him on because he gives back. You know, before we started the show, he has a huge check that he's going to show all his love and support for Special Olympics. And he raised a lot of money. In fact, we're going to be going to be kind of exciting. He'll show you how much money he raised for Special Olympics New Jersey, which is near and dear to my heart. And I just love the fact that John's going to be, he's real. I mean, we talked about, we have a mutual friend, Kevin Mannion, and it's kind of interesting, Senator Bramnick, and just, you know, how people kind of know each other. And, you know, John, I know you were selected Emerald Society Irishman of the Man of the Year in 2019, and it's a real honor. So good morning, John.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. You know, I know before we started the show, you're like, oh my God, what are we going to talk about for an hour?
An hour.
Trust me, I hope it goes pretty good, all right? I even said, you know, before we even started, I'd love to come by your beautiful restaurant, Ellery's, in Middlesex, and I hope I'm invited in there. I hope I don't show up. And
let's see what happens in the next.
Exactly,
hour,
we're gonna keep an open mind. So, no, John, you know the reason why I wanted you to come on is I love people that give back, and I love people that go on a journey with me. It means a lot, and because hopefully we motivate and inspire and make, you know, folks decide to get involved, whatever they're doing. So, a little background about yourself. I know you've been in the restaurant business for 26 years, and I know you've been really successful. What's it like running a restaurant bar?
Well, being successful, it's been up and down. It's not an easy business to be in. So, you have your good days, your bad days. You get to points in it in the 26 years where you look at your checking account, there's zero in it. And then, you put your head back down to the grind and you work your way back. I mean, just 2-3 years ago, we had biggest day of our year, St. Paddy's Day, March 16th. Around St. Paddy's Day is our anniversary. We opened up on March 15th in 1997. So that whole week, we do a great promo. We come out of the wintertime and get things rolling, and that's a really huge week for us. So we started our anniversary on the 15th. So the year of COVID, we started that weekend. All the kids were coming home early because of COVID. So that really, we were banging out a hell of a week. We start out with that Sunday is always the Somerville Parade. So it turns into an enormous week. And then that week, all of a sudden, that Sunday was phenomenal. It was our anniversary. Then on Monday, the 16th, the governor just totally pulls the plug on every business. So, and at that point, we're in business, 24 years, 25 years. You look and you go, used to running a business, paying your bills every 15, 30 days, and all of a sudden, boom, you have absolutely no money coming in.
So you had no idea that was going to happen.
Nobody had any idea that anything like that could happen, that a governor or government can just totally shut down your business and say you're done until we decide for 2 weeks. I mean, it was 2 weeks that turned into months. But, luckily we put our head down, and that goes back to mainly what the show's all about, is giving back. We built the business on giving back to the community. And at that point, the community totally gave back to us. We were We had corned beef cooked. We had everything cooked. And that St. Patty's Day, we were closed. All we did was take out. We sold out of everything. The community
So for all of us, so around St. Patty's Day, a few years ago, obviously, the pandemic. You know what's weird about the human condition? Even though we all never will forget it, in a way you do kind of forget what it was like because it was kind of surreal.
It was devastating.
For a lot of businesses. I'm a lawyer.
Did.
I mean, out of nowhere, I'm like, everybody's working from home. It's like, felt like I was the last man on a boat or something because I'm trying to do my best to keep ourselves afloat too. But literally, you've been in the business for all those years and you mentioned the neighborhood and the community. So from what I'm gathering, you built up a lot of goodwill and then all of a sudden, St. Patty's Day, COVID strikes. And tell us about what was going on, because obviously you were concerned.
Well, here you do. You know, you go through that whole week. The inventory we carry that week is tremendous. I mean, just we do over 800 pounds of corned beef. So that takes a week.
I love corn. Can I just digress? You know, it's a lot of sodium. I love corned beef. Oh, my God. I can work that over. Good.
Corned beef and a Guinness, you know. It's
yeah,
it's,
I don't know about the Guinness, but I like, you know, with the little spice.
A little Jameson.
I have to say, though, a little spicy mustard with the corned beef.
Yes,
forget
yes.
about it. Or carry on.
So yeah,
I get a little bit.
It's fresh. It's unbelievable, the corned beef we do. So you're doing that, you have all that prepared, you got 10 kegs of Guinness. I mean, and it's not like the old days when we started a business, a keg used to be $40. Now, a half keg of Guinness cost me over $180. Don't quote me on the price, but
it's fine. Wait a minute, that's not bad.
Yeah, but you know, somewhere in that room. So you have all this inventory and everything, and you got nothing coming in. And you know, those days, are your biggest days of the year. And, you know, you're doing 200 people that day, and you're down to zero, and you're down to doing takeout. And it was very devastating. I'm very fortunate. I have a good staff, and you're only as good as the people you surround yourself with. And over the 26 years, I am able to build and have a great, great staff alongside me, which helps me stay in business, keeps me going. I have a very fantastic general manager now, Ben, who's been with me for 8 years, 9 years now. I can't even remember. He's probably get mad at me if he hears it.
Well, he better be tuning in, Ben. Come on, I saw a lot of love on Facebook. I said you're popular, John.
I don't know about that.
I said, you know people. Yeah. You gave me a laugh out loud when I texted you. No joke. I mean, yeah. I have to say, man.
If anybody knows Kevin Mannion, then you know a lot of people. You
true.
Know?
That's true, too.
Because he is another bar owner in Somerville there.
Yeah, he's an interesting
Mannion's
guy.
Pub. Very sure. good guy.
We're not having the battle of the pubs. But let me ask you this, though. So, you know, just to go back a little bit, because you kind of fast forward to around the pandemic time. But
yeah.
You had built up a business over the years based on your involvement and relationship with the community, the neighbor. Because you actually, part of the name of Ellery's is the
Neighborhood Pub and Grill.
Pub and Grill, yeah. Correct. I kind of botched the name a little bit. But
that's okay.
But it happens. Ellery's.
Well, here's the thing, too. It's that you bring that up. We started out, it was called Ellery's Grill. Now, we'll go back 26 years, opened it up with a very good friend of mine, Frank Bazoma, who owns Josanna's in Middlesex. I was best man in his wedding. We grew up together building mini bikes and stuff like that. Frank is very well known in our area. He's a singer. He sings opera. He's an incredible young man. Used to own Qataris in Bound Brook. So I never knew anything about food. I've always tended bar. I tended bar actually in Ellery since I was 18 years old. I've worked in other places in Bound Brook, Petullo's restaurant, Petullo's pub in Bound Brook, which is another staple that's not there anymore. Everybody's, you know, all these buildings are getting knocked down. But so I tended bar since I was 18 years old. Also at that point I was working at DNR Boats. So I was working between...
Was I on Route 22?
Route 22.
You're kidding. My buddy Jay, we used to go down there, check out the boats, you know, the Sea Rays. Oh, my God.
Yes,
you know, they were really expensive vessels.
Yeah. Not back then, they weren't. Today, forget it.
Well, I don't even know. I'll be honest with you. I was telling my neighbor yesterday a fishing story. I like the beer. I'm not the greatest fisherman, but I'm sorry.
The beer goes good. We're going to get into beer, too.
Yeah. So going back to your evolution.
Go back. I started, you know, tending bar at, it was called the Hotel Lincoln back then, for Bobby Palazzi, who was a retired police officer. So we were doing that, and then at that point, I worked for DNR Boats. I started working when I was 15 years old. Back then, We'll go back in history.
Why not? We're going to go to the Magna Carta. How far are we going back? Talk to me.
We started fast forward. Now we're going backwards.
That's Back to the Future.
Back to the Future.
Yeah. You know, my wife and the boys and some great friends saw Indiana Jones, too, by the way.
That's going back.
Yeah, they're going back. They were some kind of crazy time machine. I was working, of course.
That's what we have to do. But going back in the way we were raised in the old days compared to the children of today, of the entitlement children.
Not my kids. I'm sure your kids
are not. My kids are not entitled. But the world of entitlement we live in now, everybody thinks everything should be handed to them. I said to my dad, I said, Dad, I want a bicycle. I'm going to go get a job. He says, you want a bike? That's good. You know, go out and earn it and buy it. And that's where it started back at 15 years old, you know, cutting grass, raking leaves for $10 for 8 hours a day. You know, it's...
Raking leaves is hard work. You want to know? I grew up in Springfield. I said to my late parents way back, I was a youngster, I'm like, I'm going to go walk around the neighborhood, rake leaves. That's hard work. The lady, I killed myself for like a day.
Right.
I got like 10 bucks.
$10 is exactly what I got.
My rake. I said, there's no way.
Back then, the guy felt bad for me, so he bought me one of those vacuum cleaners.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I left with my father and played golf for 8 hours, and then they came back and said, are you done yet? But anyway, so we started back then working, hustling. I worked at the NR Boats. I started sweeping the parking lot. So fast forward, swept the parking lot on and off. I was working there. I left there because, you know, I didn't think I was getting paid enough money, and I knew more than the people teaching me. Left there, I did a little plumbing for a while. I did a plastic fabrication for a while. And then I kept going back and forth to DNR Boats for 15 years and worked my way up to being a service manager. You know, Mr. Barone himself, I learned a lot from the man. At that point in your life, you think, oh my God, this is such a pain in the neck. The things I have to do, I can't believe I got to be perfect on sweeping a parking lot. I can't believe I got to water these flowers and keep them perfect. But today, that's what it's all about, is curb appeal. And with a restaurant, the most important thing in a restaurant is cleanliness. And you learn that at a young age. And you work your way up with that. So between working at the DNR Boats, learning how to deal with people, customer service, basically kiss everybody's behind to keep...
This is a family show now, but I know what you meant, though, John. It's fine. It's a Sunday. It's wholesome.
I do it on a bar, you know.
I was going to say, we don't want to...
Not occasionally.
It could happen. It does. Maybe. I heard about it.
We don't want to beep us out here.
No.
But anyway, you...
Okay, our engineer, I mean, I don't want to... It hasn't happened yet, but it could still. She's shaking her head. It's possible.
Anything's possible.
She's ready to hit the button.
It is a bar owner.
She saw me. She's ready to hit the button. It's amazing. They let me in the studio. All right, carry on. I'm sorry.
I forgot. So anyway, during that, I worked my way up from sweeping the parking lot to service manager, which, you know, is... anybody who's a service manager in any business today that has to deal with the public, God bless you. It's impossible. So at that point, I says, you know, I want to do my own thing, so... I found a Snap-on Tools because the tool guy used to come in and everything. And they said, why don't you become a Snap-on Tool franchise guy? I says, I don't know if I want to do that. But I looked into it, so I became a Snap-on Tool franchise guy and ran into this guy, Doug Padgett, who brought me on. And so we're working with Doug Padgett, setting up my tool franchise. I looked at Doug. I says, can I ask you a question? Out of all the people you interviewed for this position, which you're buying a franchise, you become a franchisee of Snap-on. I said, why would you pick me? He says, John, I only surround myself with successful people. So for today, I live by that thing. I only try to keep myself surrounded by successful people and people that are motivated and people that want to move forward in life instead of being Debbie Downers, you know. So I worked with that, started out with Snap-on Tools. First year, I was rookie of the year, set all sorts of records and everything with Snap-on. Started my business, and after about 3-4 years, that business just became, you become a collection agency. Basically, you're financing, putting the money on the street, so learning a whole bunch of things. At that point, I met my accountant, because I didn't have an accountant at that time, so they hooked me up with an accountant, my... Frank Martillo, who to this day was my mentor for the last 27 years. I lost him last year, which was very devastating. But he turned out to be my accountant, my best friend. I was actually best man at his wedding. After his wife passed away, he ran back into his first sweetheart and remarried. It's a phenomenal story. But
dude, I have to be honest. Like, I feel like I got to make some notes here, John. You are covering a lot of ground right here.
I got an hour. We're not going to get into my mistakes in my life either, though.
We gloss over. I try to gloss over.
We'll bleep those out.
Let me, if I may, I got to fast forward because there's a lot to unpack here. But hold on here. I found a nice pen actually in my house. But anyway, you started Ellery's though. Everything you're talking about kind of set the stage, right?
Yes. Well, you're 100% right. It's the people you grow up with. But I mean, the Barone family in that 15 years. Donald right now, who's semi-retired. He retired from DNR Boats himself. Now just the brothers there, Robert. But Donald was my older brother, and I guess I bond with people, certain people take me under their wing, and they molded me to where I am today. I mean, Mr. Barone was the classiest man in the world, always dressed, you know, like you, dressed very sharp.
Oh, you're being
sharp. Awfully
complimentary, I'll be honest. I pulled this together quick. I told you, I was out last night. I had a workout this morning, just in case, you know, the camera gets a good view, and I knew I was meeting you.
Yeah, well,
you're a restaurateur. I gotta kind of look presentable. But you know, you talk about mentorship, and we are bouncing around a little bit. I'll be honest. The great thing is you're dropping so many names. I'm trying to build YouTube subscribers, so this may work out good.
Well, the problem is most of my mentors have passed away,
which
is very devastating.
No, I'm serious. You know, let me ask you this though, because I listen to podcasts. I know I joke on the show. I only listen to the Todd Leonard Show podcast, but I love podcasts.
I'd like to meet that guy, Todd Leonard, one day.
Well, you know something? I have a few billboards. They look at me like, you're the guy on the billboard. Like, what happened to you? No, but the point was, I digress, too. I'm pretty good at it. We should get together for a beverage one day. But here's the reason.
I drank tequila.
Tequila. My neighbor was very gracious last night. Anyway, mentorship is really important, and I understand that, you know, you're going through life and you're telling the audience about people that shaped and informed you, who gave you the opportunity to learn from people, right?
Because yes.
I know in life too, there's people that are really want to help you, but you got to ask and you got to listen. So you had different people shape your life. It's the journey. We're on the journey. You ended up to people that had touched your heart and gave their time and taught you certain valuable lessons. And you started Ellery's a long time ago. Were you nervous to start a bar and restaurant, pub and grill?
Back then, no. I'm more nervous today on the decisions I make. Back then, it didn't matter. I mean, I basically started... when I started Ellery's, I most people in life, occasionally you get divorced. I went through a divorce. I closed out my business. I basically had nothing. I literally borrowed $50,000 to buy the place.
That's a lot of money, especially back then.
$10,000 from five different people.
Oh, that's 50, yeah.
That's 50,000, which, two of them were family, my father, my younger brother, then three other friends. They lent me the money. They had faith in me. Around town in Middlesex, which is a great little community, people were taking bets that I wouldn't last a year.
Did you know that they were taking bets against you?
Absolutely.
You know what's wrong with people? They bet against the wrong people. You want to know, though, too, though? It does impact you. So how'd you deal with that?
Once somebody tells me I can't do something, I get the mindset and I will accomplish things that are unheard of.
You know, I have a question about that because I brought on a wonderful guest last week, Tom Tice, Warrior Strong. And as a young person, he was labeled with certain disabilities. And his mother believed him, and he believed in himself. And now he's, you know, started this wonderful organization helping the warriors, you know, the veterans. How important is that?
I think I've actually heard of him.
He's a wonderful guy. Great young man. But the reason why we were talking about it, and the reason why I love doing the show also is because it should motivate and inspire people. It doesn't matter what people say about you. That doesn't matter. It's what you believe in yourself. But labels and with the negativity, you got to rise above it because honestly in life, because it's rough, it's tough, it's a mean world out there.
People are crude.
people are tough. I mean, it's a beautiful world, too. Yes. But if you spend time worrying about what other people say about you, you get nothing done. And also, it helps your dreams. They can't control you. Only you can control you. So you had some naysayers, but you had people that believed in you. So it lit a fire. Yes. What am I doing? I'm getting you all pumped up right now.
Pumped up.
Thank you, sir.
I'm ready to start boxing.
Oh, no. Hold on. I'm allergic to getting hit. Hold on now. Let's not remember. You say, I look good, dress well. Thank you. Don't hit the face. The reason why I bring it up is, on a serious note, you started out very humbly. You worked your fanny off. But you also share with us a little bit about work ethic and how important that is. So you started a business, and obviously you weren't nervous then, but why are you nervous now?
Price, economy, money. Back then, you know, everything was $100. Back today, anything you do is $1,000. So it's the numbers have changed. Labor cost. I mean, we're not going to go into politics because I get in trouble.
Another subject we leave out. I had Darlene Trapp here on. This woman, the beacon of hope, this woman went from homeless. She was 19, had a little, this sounds like a recap of all my shows today, but it jumps in the brain. I got to let it out. But my point was that she went from nothing. She met the President of the United States. The beacon of hope, this lady's incredible. But that's
the
journey
was at
life.
The White House for St. Patty's Day.
Did you meet the president?
When Trump was there, yes.
Good for you, man.
Yeah, it was another very interesting time in my life. But it's all from people you know, people you meet.
You actually met the president?
Life. Yes, yes.
Good for you. I saw him at, you know, he has that beautiful golf course in Bedminster.
Yes, I played there once in a while.
Oh, wow, that looks like a well-manicured course. But I went to the tournament, and last year, I mean, he had Secret Service around him, so I didn't get that close. Yeah. Plus, I look rather menacing, of course. But my point was that it's interesting how you can meet people in life.
You got me on this word journey, but it's
a journey you're giving back.
It's a journey, and you know we're gonna get. I'd like to get into some more of the things that I've done and given back.
Well, that's why people have tuned in, but I wanted to set the stage. We've covered from Snap-on tools. We're talking about C-Rays. I mean, we're covering a lot of ground here.
Yes.
All right. That's beautiful. That's fine. All right. So we have plenty of time today. We're good. I'm going to look at the clock occasionally. But my point is this, John, on a very serious note, you know, on a journey of life, things happen, right? Because you just shared with us, it's not peaches and cream, you know, running a business.
I mean, it's up and down. There's positive days and there's a lot of negative days. It's a journey. You got this word journey in my head, but it's an incredible journey, and it's, you know, it's good. You got relationships that go bad. You get your children. You have obstacles with children, major obstacles that I've had in my life with my children. I have three boys. Three boys today are very successful. Very proud of all three of them, but my middle child put me through one hell of a journey. With addiction.
Well, that's, yeah, and also I know
which
you
is which is
bit,
a man. You know, really set me back. And today I was doing our Special Olympics thing, and it just hit me, and I almost started crying on stage about, you know, the journey with him. You know, I do a lot with law enforcement. He was in law enforcement, which went bad and everything, but law enforcement helped me get through it with him, and you know, that's another journey. It's ups and downs, and this point in my life, I'm on a good journey.
Yeah, you know something, John, and I mentioned to you briefly, I mean this so humbly and so sincerely, it's beyond being a privilege to meet you, because I heard great things about you, and I could tell, you know, people really care and love and support you and your family. Is you're real and you're authentic. You know, this is the other thing too, I really believe in my heart and soul. Everybody kind of sometimes has stuff, but they kind of, like, you know, they put a little bit of a show on, because everybody goes through things in life. I don't care who you are. You could be a crazy billionaire. You could be homeless. Things happen to people. I don't care. No one's impervious to life. And you just shared a little bit about one of your sons, and I know you're so proud of all your boys. There was a lot of adversity, but you and the family got through that, right? But that's challenging in life, because all the listeners, like I said, they're tuning in. No one's perfect. Things happen in life. It's how you deal with it, right? Because that's kind of important too. You can't sweep it under the rug. If there's an issue with addiction or whatever it is, you got to deal with it.
It's a sad thing too, and you know, parents don't understand. I sent my son off to college. He's a college wrestler. Got hooked on OxyContin at college wrestling, you know, through pain and everything. And an addict can hide things, and you don't know what's going on. And it's it was a valuable lesson, and it's a crazy lesson I've learned. But we fought it together. Being in the bar business, I used to, throw people out for doing all sorts of drugs and everything. But you learn that they're, you know, a drug addict isn't a drug addict. It's an addiction problem, and you learn these things. I put myself through therapy and everything else just to understand what it's all about. When that time came, that was, you know, rough 3-4 years of my life that, you know, you go from hero to zero and you work your way back up.
How do you get through that?
Good friends, solid friends. There's people who will bring you down at that point. I had radio stations. I had everything, the news people calling the restaurant, of course, because you're in the restaurant business and you have things happen that are major. They want to destroy you.
I'm not following. Like, how did that happen, though? Because what happened with your son?
What happened with my son?
So they had your business come out? What happened to your business?
They reflected it that the drugs came out of the restaurant business.
All right.
Because, you know, basically we sell a narcotic. Alcohol.
Is
so they just related it back and forth. At that point, my son was a police officer. So everybody wants to destroy the police for, God forbid, something happens to a police officer. They want to bring it down. So that all got brought up, and I became the focus of attention at that point. And my son and my business, and you know, the media and everything always try to bring down any negativity they can about police officers. But police officers, they're out there, they're helping. It's like being in business. Everybody, you know, they get jealous if somebody's doing something better. They want to, you know, take care of things. And I have a very good relationship with a lot of the police around, and I do a lot of fundraising with them. And they were very good to me. The state PBA president, Pat Colligan, was excellent and helped my family get through that. They saved my son's life. So, I mean, I'm very thankful for
that. Yeah, you know, you have to say, so you're preaching to the choir. I love the police. I'm really active in the 200 Club in Morris County. I think everyone owes the police a huge debt of gratitude. They're serving and protecting any moment
of
any given time. You know, I stopped by the Roxbury PD. They were raising money. There's a youngster local who has, unfortunately, a very serious medical condition. I try to help out whenever I can. And but I love the police. I think they play, you know, a huge role in all of our lives. And, you know, God bless you.
They don't get the compliments and the pluses that they should get. Everybody just wants to bring out the negative.
They do a ton of
positive for the community. I'm very involved with my local police department, with my police chief.
Shout out to the local police chief.
Yeah, Middlesex Borough Police Chief Matt Geist.
God bless him.
He's become a very good friend of mine. He has his struggles too, like anybody else takes over a job. You know, it takes a long time to get in the right direction and work with everybody, but he's very involved with community policing and everything. Excuse me. And so we work together. Businesses and the police work together to keep the community together, keep the community safe.
Amen to that. Once again, John, this has been so. We've done a half hour. we're just getting warmed up, and we're covering it all. We're going to be back in 30 seconds with John Ellery. Please come back in 30.
The Todd Leonard Show is sponsored by the Leonard Foundation, whose mission is to support the children and families who are battling pediatric cancer and those in need of food and assistance, women's shelters, and other important social services in the community. They also proudly support those fighting pancreatic cancer. They feel it's vitally important to help those in need in our amazing community when they need us the most. Please join them in extending a helping hand and go to leonardcharity.org and donate now. Together, we can touch many lives.
So, John, we were talking about your love and respect for law enforcement, also some of the adversity in your life. And for the listeners, this is really important because you're a real person and you've gone through real stuff, a lot of hard stuff. But I think because of everything you've gone through, you seem very appreciative, very humble by it. And it seems like you have a great bunch of friends and family that really support you and what you've gone through. And I know at the same moment, you also felt important to give back, because on the journey of giving back, it's about making the world better and the community. And you shared with us a little bit, a very private, but it became very public, a battle your son had with drug addiction. And somehow your business got, you know, you had to also kind of defend what you're doing as a business owner. And, but you rose above all that. And here we are now in 2023, right? And you're a fighter. You're scrappy in life. Where do you think that, that came from? I know you kind of shared with us on the journey. You worked your fanny off.
Work a fan. Well, also, you know, scrappler, wrestler.
You wrestled too?
Wrestle. So
really? What weight did you wrestle at?
141.
You know, I was telling, oh, wow, you were formidable back then. Yeah, you know, my buddies, they all wrestle. My late mom said, you're not wrestling. Okay. And I said, Ma, I think, you know, the coach thought I would be good. I've been accused of so many things. Being tall has never been one of them. But I can mix it up. And I was, you know, obviously pretty strong as a younger, you know, guy. I never wrestled. But back in the day, these guys I grew up with, they would wear the rubber suits. And they would be spitting all day, and they would be cutting weight, and I would be hanging out chasing girls back in the day. My wife, don't get jealous, just back in the day. No, I would wrestle with the girls. No, but literally, like, that's a tough sport.
Wrestling builds character.
It does, yeah. These guys, almost all of them I grew up with, I mean, they're still in really good shape. You know, they're disciplined. And there's something about that. It builds character. And a lot of our friends, like now, their kids are out. They're starting like the peewee wrestlers and
right.
stuff. And because of my mindset with my late parents, I don't know if I want my children to wrestle, but I love the character it builds. So were you a good wrestler?
I was halfway decent.
Halfway
they,
decent.
They called me a late bloomer.
Nothing wrong with that.
You know, I didn't really succeed until my senior year, but, you know, I had a good run.
Good. What's that like? You know, I always love I love wrestling and even pro wrestling too. But literally, I used to watch that movie Vision Quest, and it was with Matthew Modine, and he's like he's got to wrestle like this guy that's like invincible with the Mohawk. You ever see the movie? That's a wonderful movie, and that covers some stuff too. I mean, you brought up Snap-on tools. I got to digress. No, but you think from your training and it makes you
it's
who you
discipline.
Are.
Discipline. It's you know, I used to get up, God. 5 o'clock in the morning, do 5 miles before school, you know. It was all training and everything to be conditioned to be on a mat. And it's helped me through even a few wrestling matches I've had in the bar business.
I bet you might have a few patrons that don't want to leave, and you got to send them out the door.
Yeah, well, you know, we don't want to talk about those things. Not allowed to swear. We can't talk about other things.
No, no, it happens. No, no. Listen, we're not trying to create any we don't want to create any litigation.
No. I don't need a good lawyer, though.
No, no, listen. I take the trial lawyer hat off when I come into this building.
Okay.
Once I'm driving down Hanover Avenue, I have to it's a new persona. But anyway, so let's talk about the things you've done. And, you know, I mentioned in the opening, it seems like a while ago, but you've been involved with Special Olympics.
Yes.
And Ellen, who you know from the radio station, a wonderful lady. I think she's in Italy with her family. How do I know? It's a lot of Facebook pictures.
Yeah.
But anyway, the point is, you know, she said, you got to meet this guy, John Ellery. He's a giver. And I'm like, all right, well, I'd like to know. Yeah, sure, let's talk. So tell me about Special Olympics. Why'd you get involved in that?
Special Olympics, it's again, it's a law enforcement torch run. The torch actually runs one of its legs, leg number two, which is overseen by Lieutenant Mike Sherwood out of the Port Authority. Years ago, I saw it come through town. They run, you know, the leg through Middlesex, 3 miles. They run through, pass it from Dunellen PD to Boundbrook PD. So they come through, so I got involved, and it is a Middlesex Borough police fundraiser that they do. But no, I don't want the cops to get mad at me, but they're not very ambitious when it comes to raising money.
Yeah, but you know,
some
I just...
Are, some are, some
no,
aren't.
No, but Kelly, I was just at the Roxbury PD on Friday night after work. It's a little bit of a... I'm like a bit of a misadventure sometimes. Like, I mean, well, so I show up there, I'm going to donate money. They're having like a wiffle ball tournament for local PBA to raise money. God bless Augie and his family. But I show up there, I want to donate, and basically... There's no one in this. You walk into like the lot. I like to hang out in police stations. I get a little nervous. I didn't know what to do. I want to donate,
Well, you're getting clients while you're there.
No, yes. Hold on. There's laws against that. No, but literally, I hit the button because it's like a call box. The problem is it goes into central station dispatch. So as they're picking up on the two-way system there in the lobby at Roxbury PD, two big, handsome police officers come out. I thought they thought I was like in some kind of crisis mode. I thought I was going to get knocked to the ground. I said, no, it's all good. I'm sorry. My apologies. But they were ambitious. They were trying to raise money to help youngsters. Yeah. I just want to, you know, set the record straight.
So I get involved with it years ago. I don't think we've been doing it for 20 years. And of course, the last 3 years, we haven't done anything because of COVID. So this year, my friend, Lieutenant Mike Sherwood out of the Port Authority, has retired, and this was his last year. Again, I'm very fortunate with the people that I have surrounded myself with. We've done other major fundraisers in the borough of Middlesex. Middlesex is such a unique little town community. Everybody thinks Middlesex County. No, it's the borough of Middlesex, which is a very solid, great place. I grew up there, and that's where my business is and everything. And I've made this little core group of people that anytime we do a fundraiser, I remember Shane had cancer as a young kid. He's doing very well today.
God bless him.
But we raised a lot of money for him. Brian Marsh, who's a police officer's son, who's now in the Army, had cancer. We did a lot of fundraisers for him. I think you brought that up with the bikini.
That's like a teaser. I was telling my neighbor last night, because I do a little promotion too. It's like, oh yeah, the guy with the bikini. A little teaser for the audience. Yeah.
So there are pictures of me in a bikini.
I don't listen. It is still a PG show.
It is.
I'm sorry, carry on.
Yes. So back then, it was a cut for Brian. We raised a lot of money back then. I don't know the exact figures. Then there's another young man in town, Danny Garofalo. I probably said that last name wrong. A sweet kid passed away with a disease. Did a lot of fundraising for him. We did some incredible shows with Gemini and another guy who does Elvis. We put together shows at the Somerville Elks. I'm also involved with the Somerville Elks, Jack's Kids, the Kelsey Run.
I can't keep track, I'll be honest. Listen, hold on.
You told me I only got an hour. I got to get it all out.
I got a nice pen here, but I can't even jot down notes, John. Wow. So you've been really involved. So this is why we did a long setup, so the listeners and people tuning in, and a shout out on Facebook is, and you have a lot of friends on Facebook, but the reason why I love bringing you on now is because they understand you're real, and you're like, you know, you're trying to also help. When did the fire get lit that you were like, you know, I'm doing well enough that I can be involved and give back? What made you decide these things?
Really, I built the business on is giving back to the community, and it starts with the Little League, the Pop Warners, cheerleading. Another big thing, my oldest son made it big time in cheerleading, Kentucky University.
Really?
Olympic cheerleader and everything. So that's another whole story.
We can do another
hour.
I got to have you back. God, listen, and nothing else. I got to come back to your establishment. I think I need a refreshment because this could go on for a while.
Yeah, no, my oldest son was incredible. He's a self-taught kid who taught himself cheerleading. Started out as a wrestler. He says, Dad, I don't want to wrestle anymore. And all of a sudden, he goes off to college and calls me, says, I'm going out for cheerleading. I says, cheerleading? What the hell do you know about cheerleading?
Yeah.
He used to go hang out in this little place in Middlesex and do tumbling, and the kid, that's another story in itself. You should have him on here. He's
I'll be honest, we got a lot. I have to digress. you did a segue, John. I can't make this up.
Let's get back to special.
It's my show. You take a lot of airtime. Though all my friends like, just let the guests talk. But I grew up in Springfield. I was a Chisholm Chicken. So shout out to my buddies in Springfield, which is another
chicken,
small.
What's that?
Just a Chisholm Chicken. We were tough, but somehow that was like the local nickname. But I was on the tumbling team.
Oh, okay.
And I said that to my wife a few days ago. She looked at me like, you weren't on the tumbling team. I said, I'm going to find a
chicken tumbler.
No, hold on. The word chicken is a bit like a misnomer, because some of these guys are tough. But anyway, I didn't mean to. I just want to bring in the tumbling and the gymnastics.
Yeah, it's he went off to D1 college, ended up in Kentucky. There's a couple of colleges in between. The kid motivated himself and worked his way up to Kentucky University, number one in the country for cheerleading. Made Team USA and cheering and everything. The kid, unbelievable.
You know, my buddy, John Lamora, the wizard, his kids, his beautiful daughters, I mean, they're all into the gymnastic thing and stuff. It looks a little dangerous to me, to be honest.
It's very dangerous.
I would say the one that's all the way up on the top, things could go wrong. No, on a serious note, like the concussions.
Throw them up there and catch them.
I hope he's got, did he ever play baseball? I mean, you know, you don't want to drop,
probably drop one or two. But
it happens. That could happen, too, sure. How did we get on this topic? John, you cover a lot of territory,
Let's go back to the fundraising.
Yeah, so, please.
Anyway, with law enforcement, with the Special Olympics, it became special. I mean, there's a kid in town. He's not a kid anymore. He's 50 years old. Paul Butera, I call the ambassador of Middlesex. He's got a lot of gold medals and everything. And throughout Special Olympics and what have you. So it just became a challenge and a thing, you know. I wanted to raise money there with the Special Olympics. If you look on the back of the shirt every year, there's a top 10. They put the top 10 collectors on the back of the shirt. So over the 20 years, we've probably been number one for five times, but we've been on the shirt at least seven times.
That's awesome, you know.
For raising money.
I have a question, and we're going to show the check in a minute. This is a pretty good build-up for the check,
yes.
I just got to say. But was it also because when people say you can't do it,
yes.
It lights a fire?
That's a temptation.
The fire's in there.
There's no
in the
way
belly.
You can do it.
The fire's in the belly.
Tell me I can't do it, and then it's going to happen.
You're going to make it happen. You're going to put your heart and soul into it.
Somebody told me I couldn't get I'm not a contractor at all, but somebody told me I can't remodel this house and have it done by Thanksgiving. It was done by Thanksgiving.
Really?
Just stupid things.
That's good.
Another thing, I bought a condo last year with my girlfriend, and we looked at it, and he said, oh, we want to be in here in 3 months. So I says, okay, we totally renovated a place in 3 months. Everybody thinks I'm nuts, but once I get on a project, if something's got to be done, it's got to be done.
So
and
you
that's
know,
where at work they get aggravated with me, too. You know, we start things, we got to keep things clean, things got to be done. It's got to be done right away. We can't wait. You can't sit back.
I got to tie all this up just briefly. Then we're going to show the check in a second. But everything you're telling us is kind of shaping and informing your life. And even when you're young and you're doing things, you don't realize how it's going to impact you until you get a little older and a little more perspective on things, right? Because the skills that you learned about and about the mentorship, the great mentors you have paid dividends in many different ways. But you have that moxie, too. That fight in you, right? I mean, because maybe the
wrestler,
adversity.
The wrestler
came out. That's good, man. All right. It's all good. So without further ado, I know that you had a recent, you raised money for the New Jersey Special Olympics,
yes.
For the torch run. So if you could pick up the check and show us, how much money you guys have raised for Special Olympics for this year. Yeah, and if you just tell, because we have the iPhone, right there. So you raised over $61,000 for Special Olympics New Jersey. That is beyond beautiful. I see the Middlesex PBA Local 181, Lieutenant Mike Sherwood Run 2, Port Authority Police, New York, New Jersey. And a shout out to my buddy Jay. He was with the Lieutenant in the Port Authority. He's retired now. God bless him. But they're wonderful folks. And thank you for doing that, John. That's an incredible thing.
It's not me. It's the people that I surround myself with. There's a family, like I said, the Polaire family in Middlesex. They go out of the way. They're firemen. This guy works down the docks in Newark, and he got all their unions. I mean, I got people.
I'll just put this like this. There you go.
People, and it's the people I've met through my life. It's the bank managers, Magyar Bank, John Fitzgerald. The people he makes it possible for me to meet, the attorneys, everybody I met, everybody I talked to, people I know, they're writing me $1,000 checks. I didn't get that by John Ellery doing it. That was people around me, like I say, the Pallaire family, they brought in over $7,000 in checks through people they know. We did a tricky tray that brought in $6,700. We did a 50 Super 50 50, brought in $11,000. So it was a lot of combinations, and it's all the people around me. My staff, we did a pasta night there that raised the money. It's the incredible people around me that make that possible.
Yeah, you know,
it's not me.
You know, so it took a while, but we're warming up now. This is the show, the beauty of the show, because we put the spotlight. You just did it, sir. Not just you, but the incredible folks around you in the community. Because people say, "Oh, the community doesn't care," but they do care. There's so many wonderful people out there, and I have to say, you drop a lot of names. We need all these like YouTube subscribers. I mean, these got to be tuning in. They got to be hitting that button. They got to be subscribing. But no, but seriously, you know a lot of wonderful people, and you're a wonderful guy, and you've been able to bring the community together. And you know, the other thing is, you don't know until you ask, right?
Yes.
What is that? Can you give us a little advice about that? Because I also believe if you have not, because you don't ask for it, you got to ask for it, is the bottom line.
I get in trouble, and my one guy, Rob Pallaire, laughs at me. He goes, you just ask people for money, and they give it to you. And it's fortunate, I guess I've built a little bit of a reputation that I could be a bulldog, and when it's time to raise money for certain things for children, it's important. Like just yesterday was the Jack's Kids softball tournament in Somerville, which we sponsor a lot of teams there. We donate to that, raise money for the Elks with their special needs children. That's another big thing. So the Jack's Kids over there raises a ton of money for them. And also in that area is Jim Cookingham, which the Kelsey run, who's been going over a young lady who had cancer years ago, and she's still alive today.
God bless.
For that, because of the, you know, the Kelsey run is these little organizations that don't get a lot of credit, and the time and effort that go into raising that money.
This is awesome.
People don't see it. People don't. They don't understand it. It's time. And then Sergeant Jolene Ariccio out of Middlesex put a lot of her personal time into it, and it's a lot of personal time goes into this that people don't see. These police officers, the personal time they do for their communities is forgotten about. You know,
we don't forget about it.
No,
though,
we
John.
Don't. But people do forget. And they, you know, they just think about the time they get pulled over. But these people are here to save. You know, they save lives and keep everybody healthy.
No doubt about it. You know, I'm going to have Sheriff Gannon on shortly from the Morris County. He's an incredible sheriff. I mean, he's a wonderful guy. But this is once again why it's beautiful that you're on the show today, because we're covering a lot of territory. But really, seriously, you know, you talk about members of the community. These organizations, they make a huge difference. You know, they give hope when people don't have hope, light when they're in the darkness, and that's an incredible gift to be able to do it. You know, John, question, you love helping the kids. I'm hearing like these different things you're doing to help the sick kids. You know, I'm blessed with young kids, and it's the greatest gift in the whole world. I've always had something in my heart when I see a sick kid. I don't know. It makes you feel like you want to do something. What made you decide you want to help the kids?
I have three healthy boys. They're good. The hiccups in lives.
Yeah.
My youngest one lost his mother. He's 22 years old. He's on his own. He grew up quick. It's just, you know, the kids are important. I mean, that's why we're here. That's why we work.
Right, exactly.
Get back to the kids, get back to the community. I'm never going to be a millionaire because I give it all back.
That's okay, but you're rich in so many ways. You know that?
Yes, I am.
You know, when you, like, God willing, you're going to live another 100, 200 years, whatever it might be. But at the end of the day, you're going to be known for someone that was a giver rather than a taker. And I always think about the legacy. I have a birthday coming up. I always say, like, what are people going to remember me from? Like, what have I done in my life? I'm very blessed. I'm successful. But I don't want to be known for that. I want to be known for someone giving back, helping others in need. I got to talk about the bikini now. I mean, we set this up, too. I mean, we have the check. I mean, listen, don't get me wrong. God bless you. No, I mean, it's amazing with the check. But I got to talk about, you know, It kind of shows your personality. And for the listeners, you know, in life sometimes you have to kind of step out there a little bit. And you did. Tell us a little bit about Brian Marsh and what you did to kind of help him and his family. What'd you do?
Again, that it's not me. It's the community. I just put my building up, put the building out there. They had a dunk tank. Excuse me. And somebody put up, I forget, $5,000, $1,000, probably $1,000 for me to get in a dunk tank in a bikini.
Now, I'll be honest. I mean, you're a strapping gentleman, but and no disrespect.
I didn't look good.
I know. No. I don't want to be judgmental. I saw a photo. I mean, you know, yeah. The point
what
is.
What are you doing? Are you stalking me?
No. I had a research. This is in the best spirit of the show. A little research. It might have been a little frightening, but no. But literally, so you're going to get in a dunk tank, right?
Yes.
And you're raising money for a very sick child.
Yes.
And I understand, thankfully, Brian Marsh is doing
he's
better.
He's healthy. God he's bless. In the Army serving
oh,
country.
Oh, God bless, man. I mean, I love those stories, you know. And but so you're going to get in the dunk tank. Have you ever been in a dunk tank before?
Not in a bikini.
Excuse me, sir. I don't want to pry. I mean, I'm not judgmental. Once again, it's a PG show. No, but literally... So you're going to get in the dunk tank. You have a bikini. Like, we'll talk to us here a little bit more. So you have a bikini on, a bikini top?
No, it was a full bikini.
Full bikini. Oh, now you are showing off a little bit. So you're going to get into the dunk tank in a bikini. What's the weather like that day?
It was warm out.
Warm out.
I believe so.
All right. So so people are, I'm assuming... People might be lining up, no disrespect to you and everything you've done. They might want to see you hit the water.
Oh, they did.
I bet they did. So how many times did you get, like, basically dunked?
Yeah, we're going back. That was probably 10, 15 years ago.
I know, but it's got to be memorable. How many times are you getting in the dunk tank with the bikini? But you hit the water a few times.
Can't we change the subject?
I just because it's a fascinating character
study. I have to play golf tomorrow with a very good friend of yours, senator.
Well, let me just say, it might help your game. I don't know. We'll give you, if I may, a few mulligans.
I don't need a mulligan because I'm not that good at golf. See how I change the subject?
Anyway, the point though, God bless you. You know, but the reason why I love the story is I love people that step out of the box a little bit and they're not afraid about what people say. They just do it. And it was a beautiful, wonderful cause.
It was a great cause. And it's take care of it. Getting back to taking care of the community. The borough of Middlesex sticks together as such a solid, tight community, which you don't see that in a lot of places.
Yeah, but you know, so I got to digress a little bit because every time you bring something up, I feel like I have to get a little airtime too. But and people like, no, they just want to hear the guest. My great friend Steve Alford, he's with the Roxbury Rotary. He's a 5-time Rotarian president. He dresses up as a leprechaun, Steve Alford. He's got the biggest heart.
Hopefully on St. Patty's Day.
Maybe, I don't even know. To be honest, he might wear it other days. No, but to raise money and raise awareness, he'll step outside that comfort zone to help others in need. And that's a beautiful thing. And for everyone throughout our great country, there's a lot of wonderful communities out there and everywhere.
Right.
It's not just here local. It's not just in Middlesex or Springfield where I grew up or Denville or Mendham or Roxbury, whatever town you live in. Throughout our great country, there's wonderful people, wonderful organizations making a difference. You know, I think that's beautiful. When you're doing these things to give back, what's the feeling you get? Tell us.
It's an incredible feeling. It's nice. It's when you put numbers together and get together with other people who have the same ambitions to raise and help others. It's a great feeling. It's nice. And then I get to meet nice people like you who want
to being generous.
Talk to me. You know, which is, you know, there's a lot of negativity out there, and it's nice to be around positive people.
Once again, you're singing my mantra. Like, don't focus on the negative. Let's focus on the positive.
And I mean, there's the sad part about life in general. 80 to 90% of things are positive, but the 10% of the negative becomes 100%.
I think, you know, candidly, I think your percentages are even. I think you're overstating the negative. I think there's like 99% of things going on are positive. It's that 1%, and they blast it all over the news. Like, I was talking to a few consultants about the show, trying to build up an audience, and I'm like, I love doing my show. I'm going to keep on doing it because I think people want positive stories. So for those tuning in, you should focus on the positive
side
instead of the negative, because the negative things do happen, but there's so many wonderful, beautiful things happening all around us. But we kind of shut it out. We got to put the spotlight on the goodness out there.
That's it. We need the positive. Now, it's just like politics, 2 seconds.
Please. But I mean, we're done.
This governor wants to do to the bars and the restaurants, would take away our liquor licenses and give everybody a liquor license. You have people in this industry. There's 5,500 liquor licenses in the state of New Jersey. There's 1,400 pocketed liquor licenses that are available through people. There's a lot of different options, but here's my quick scenario of what this governor wants to do to bar owners. Your average liquor license in New Jersey is $400,000. Your average home in New Jersey is $440,000. How do you think every homeowner would feel if the governor walked in and said, I'm taking $400,000 from you and devalue your home? That's what he wants to do to bars and restaurants throughout New Jersey. So this is a big fight when working with the New Jersey Beverage Liquor Association. Diane Weiss is putting up a hell of a fight trying to save our liquor licenses, save our communities, because without the small businesses to help the communities, we're going to be in trouble.
No, I know that's...
fortunate enough to be on Bill Spadia's show and discuss that with him, and he's a big advocate to help us save our liquor licenses.
Todd's
going to help save our liquor licenses.
You know, I have to say, though, because we are apolitical on the show, but I know it's near and dear to your heart.
Yes, it's a challenge.
The bar industry, I realize there's a real value to liquor license, and I hope that everything works out fairly. You know, I have to transition now.
That's okay.
I
had to throw it in.
No, it's all right. Listen, you've been great coming on. I knew there had to be a little something with the liquor license. You know, you also were selected by the Emerald Society as the Irish Man of the Year. What was that like to get that award?
That goes back to, you know, years ago I met up with this gentleman who walked in the bar, looked at me, and we started talking. It was Jackie Doyle. Everybody in the world knows Jackie Doyle from New Brunswick. He's a police officer. Became a great friend of mine for the last 8 years. And he's a guy that gives back to the community, works with the community. New Brunswick is an incredible area, and you know, their mayor there is incredible. It's just an incredible area, and I got hooked up with them, and we did a couple little fundraisers with them again within New Brunswick with Pat Colligan out of the PBA. They're all involved with the Emerald Society, and we all work together, and they just recognized me for things that I have done to give back to the community. The torch, law enforcement torch run is the big thing. I don't even know the total number we've raised over the last 20 years. It's probably over $250,000.
I mean, we're going to wave this also in the air, because, I mean, this is a real accomplishment for everybody on your team.
That's just this year.
No, for this year. You raised over $61,000. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of what you're doing, you and your wonderful colleagues.
Yes.
In the community, making the world better, lifting up the community. We have a little bit of time left. You're pretty loquacious. I mean, you do like to talk like me. So you might have your own show after this is over. We might give you a microphone.
Girlfriend, I says, what am I going to talk about for an hour? Don't worry, you don't shut up.
Well, I hear that from my wife, too, to be honest. She mentioned something about duct tape. Something might be advisable. Do you have advice for the listeners?
Just give back. Be yourself. Be positive. Stay positive. Work forward. I've done all this with a high school education. So it's, you know, anything is possible in life.
Yeah, you know, you have an education of life, though.
I have an education of life.
And the good, the bad, whatever you've endured made you who you are. So I just, in closing,
made a lot of mistakes.
Who hasn't? But I have to say, though, John, it's a great honor to meet you today. I knew when you were like, what are we going to talk about for an hour? I knew we were going to cover a lot.
We missed a lot. We might have to do another hour.
I think we should. So I just want to say God bless you. I want to say God bless everything you're doing. Your organization, the things you're doing for the community, your local restaurant, I always wish you the most success.
Thank you.
I think you're a wonderful person. Hope tomorrow you have a tremendous round in golf. And for the listeners, like John Ellery's out there, they're all over the marketplace, people making a difference. You can make a difference. I'm going to end the show with a quote. You know, John Wooden was a legendary basketball coach. He won over 10 national championships in basketball. He won, in fact, 7 years in a row. And you know what he said? He actually won 88 games in a row, which for basketball folks is like an incredible thing to do. But he was a great mentor, a great teacher. But he said, make each day a masterpiece. So remember that. Before you go to bed tonight, make a difference in the world. Help someone in need. You can never forget we're all in this together. Please tune in next week and don't forget to take care of each other. Take care.
The preceding program was paid for by the Leonard Foundation. This episode is property of the Todd Leonard Show and cannot be reproduced without the approval of Todd Leonard. The views and opinions expressed are not necessarily those of the staff and management of WMTR. As always, it is advisable to consult a professional before making a major decision.
Classic Oldies, WMTR Morristown, a Beasley Media Group station.